Let's take a step back in time now on Statewide Drive to Victoria's 1939 fires. For 34 days between January and April 1939, the Black Friday Bushfires Royal Commission heard evidence from 220 witnesses. Their testimonies were typed up on 2,606 pages, and until recently, this detailed oral history was lost. Associate Professor Leon Brenn is at the Melbourne School of Land and Environment at Melbourne University's Creswick campus and joins us in the studio with some exciting news. Good afternoon, Leon Brenn.
Oh, good afternoon, Fiona.
What can you tell us?
Well, it is exciting. The document turned up at our Creswick campus. Our librarian, Jerry Fahey, got a whiff that it had once been on the campus and thought, well, if it's once been there, it must still be there. So he went hunting and through cupboards and boxes and what have you, and turned it up. It's the only copy. In those days, there was no photocopiers, so they had three copies, carbon copies. The other two would appear to have been lost, and it's just a terrific oral history of the fire. It gives a whole different view of bushfire fighting 70 years ago, and it has eerie parallels to the current Royal Commission.
Well, that's my immediate thought when I was told about this discovery and your exploration of these documents, was that it is a really amazing time for them to be found and analysed.
Yes, it is, and we've been enjoying, well, if enjoying is the correct word, looking at them, drawing the parallels and seeing what's the same and what's different. And we're also organising a fairly major seminar which will present this information in a month or two.
We'll talk a little about what's in them in a minute, but the documents themselves, what kind of condition were they in when they were found?
Well, they're fairly tatty. They were 70 years old and they'd been in a cupboard and a little bit dog-eared, but they're quite readable. They appear to have mixed in the different copies. With carbon copies, you had the best copy, which is the front one, and then the other two copies deteriorated in quality. And they seem to have mixed them all up so that no one of the three copies was better than the others. They're certainly very readable. They're not always entirely clear, but you have no trouble reading them.
What did you first think when you heard that they were discovered? Did you know that they were there was a search for them through the campus?
Well, we'd always wondered how Judge Stratton got his evidence. It was always a minor mystery. The actual Royal Commission report is in a few libraries, and it does have little quotes from this, but the actual sort of question of just what did people say and how he got his evidence is unknown to us all. So we found it very exciting. I've been in forestry for about 45 years, and I can just actually remember meeting some of the witnesses very early in my career. And it just gives a view of a very different world, but facing up to the same issues as the current Royal Commission.
Had you read the actual Commission report before?
Yes, I had, and occasionally I'd given lectures on it. Judge Stratton was a very interesting person. He liked had a flamboyant writing style. In the report, he got stuck into everyone. He thought that all the witness evidence was tainted by self-interest. He had a lot to say about the Grazies, he had a lot to say about the Forest Commission, he liked the younger foresters, he didn't like the older public servants, he thought there was an age differential affecting them. He was very critical of the lack of emergency services, there was nothing analogous to the CFA. He was very critical of the government preparation for the fires. He basically had many constructive comments and many constructive criticisms, but he was not blind to the self-interest in the people giving evidence either.
Mm. And so now you're able to read the transcripts of the people giving evidence.
Yes, that's correct. And in general, the judge comes across as tolerant and accepting, but every so often he, for want of a better word, spits the dummy. He obviously feels that the witness is not telling the truth, or the witness is hiding something, or the witness is leading him up the garden path.
So the cross-examination is fascinating.
Yes, it is fascinating. You actually had a judge who would, Judge Stratton, who would occupy the same position as Commissioner Bernard Teague. There were no assistant commissioners, and then you had a lawyer, Gregory Gowans, who occupies the same position as Jack Rush in the current Royal Commission. And they obviously formed a good working team. They took evidence at 30 sites, obviously under very hot and trying conditions. They interviewed, 200 people, odd, and gave a very comprehensive account of the fires.
What about the language used? Is it much the same as we're seeing in the current Royal Commission into the Black Saturday fires?
I think the people were rather different then. The language is perhaps less emotive. There was 71 deaths in it, so it was actually the worst land disaster in Australia's history at the time, as was the February the 7th fire. However, there's very little reference to the people being burnt. It's obviously there in the background all the time. I think people were perhaps more used to mortality in those days. They'd come through the Depression. They were perhaps a little more dour. It's very matter of fact, and there's very little dwelling on the individual experiences, unlike the current Royal Commission. So it doesn't have much to say about what happened to an individual person. It's just accepted that there were deaths there, but they're not looking at whether they could have been avoided or did this person suffer. No consideration of trauma of the people. It's sort of get on with your life as soon as the fire's over.
Isn't that interesting? And people possibly a lot more formal too in those days in terms of their presentation and you know, how they possibly thought they were expected to speak. Whereas today people are perhaps a little bit more relaxed in the sentences they feel they can say. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I'd agree with that. And the other thing was, he felt that the many of the witnesses were being prevented from occurring, so that he felt that the, as a group, the sawmillers and the would not appear because they didn't want to incriminate themselves. And he obviously felt that they were keeping the workers by threat of punitive action. And so that he actually, towards the end of it, he actually subpoenaed many of the sawmillers and subpoenaed the sawmill workers to appear. So he felt that there was coercion that was stopping him at getting at the truth.
And this is coercion between who?
Coercion by, if you like, the interests of commercial interests, perhaps sawmillers, graziers, the Graziers Association. He felt that people were hiding the truth from him in the interests of their organisation's long-term survival.
So we've spoken about the differences, but what parallels can you see between the testimonies given in this Bushfire Royal Commission and the one from 1939?
Well, I think Fiona, that the most striking thing is that the same areas were burning. The evidence makes a lot of reference to past fires, and so it really gives you a continuous link to bushfires in Victoria from 1890 to the present. Many of the areas that burnt were the same as the 2009 fires. And if you add in the 2006 and the 2003 fires, there's almost a complete overlap, with perhaps the exception of the Otways and the Western District. For instance, the town of Marysville obviously just escaped in 1939. King Lake burnt, Strathewen gets a mention because of fires at Strathewen. So just an eerie congruence of the burnt areas. I think the other thing that has struck me has been how we've forgotten the lessons of these fires. And we, perhaps our society has relearnt by forgetting, has relearnt the hard way rather than the easy way. The same issues are dealt with in this Royal Commission. The attitudes are different. The people in those days didn't like the bush. They viewed the bush as something to be cleared, to be despised. And there's lots of calls for more burning of the bush. And there's very little enforcement of fires. The concept of fuel reduction burning didn't exist, but what you would do, if you had a property and the wind was blowing in the right direction, you would light a fire on the downwind side of it. And you had no concern where that fire went, you just lit it and burnt away. And the Forest Commission was attempting to stop this very destructive habit. It was bitterly resisted by the people in the towns. They viewed the bushes, they used the word dirty commonly, which I think equates to scrub. There was very little consideration of what we would now call biodiversity or conservation aspects. Basically, the graziers had the view that the more the bush was burnt, the better, because you would get more grass. The people in the towns really had no value for the bush other than perhaps timber values. There was no concern about animals. There were a few people from the city came along to give evidence saying, well, the bush does have nice birds, animals, and should be protected, but they were obviously sort of on the margins of society.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. And possibly pioneers in their own right at that time.
Yes, they would have been. I think they would have had a fairly hard road to hoe, so to speak.
Mm. Did many women give evidence?
There was only one woman. One woman, actually a wife of a farmer, gave evidence. But there was a fascinating little piece where Mrs. Cotter leapt up and attempted to question one of the witnesses on social grounds. And the judge was very polite to her, but he said, well, you don't have a reason to appear. You don't have a financial interest. You're just interested. And he instructed Mr. Gowans to talk to her later and instruct her in correct procedure. She said, but I am allowed to appear. The Labor Party have said I can appear. And the judge was totally unimpressed. I did try to find out what happened to Mrs. Cotter, whether she went to Parliament. Perhaps some of your listeners, it's your grandmother.
On social grounds, what, she was trying to question a witness on social grounds.
That's correct. She would be what we would now call an early activist. And obviously the judge found that strange and unusual and... It obviously didn't figure in the feelings of the time.
It's been so interesting talking with you this afternoon. Thank you so much. You are launching the papers tonight at 5 o'clock at the Education Library at the Parkville campus of Melbourne University. But there is another event on Monday, the 9th of November. I'll just give out details of that. There'll be special guests, including current Royal Commission Counsel Jack Rush, talking, along with others, looking at the parallels and differences between then and now. That's on Monday, the 9th of November at 11 a.m. at the Queen Elizabeth Theatre at Melbourne University. And these documents, the oral evidence from the Black Friday bushfires from 1939's Royal Commission, will be available on the internet as well, and we'll put a link from the Statewide Drive website if you would like to find out and read a little bit more of this fascinating oral history. That'll be available. We'll link it through from the Statewide Drive website when they're put up in a couple of days' time. Thanks so much for popping into the studio, Associate Professor.
Thank you, Fiona.
That's Associate Professor Leon Bren. He's from the Melbourne School of Land and Environment at the Creswick campus of Melbourne University.